superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Fun first hour talking about Steph Curry's remarkable performance and then the NFL draft with Daniel Jeremiah. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this program. We just also had a funny conversation amongst us here in the studio with an Atlanta superfan getting totally hosed. Announcing a pick, somebody heckling him with a 28-3 heckle, and I'm like, can't we all just, you know, put it aside? And you guys immediately jumped on me saying, this is what fans do. Even if it's a special moment for one fan, other fans are going to just heckle the moment. I get it. You guys have no soul. I understand.
Wow.
Is that an overreaction?
That's a
perfect
bit.
For this hour, because it is an overreaction coming, overreaction Monday,
you
coming
know,
up.
I'm just saying.
I understand.
Andy Reid will be joining us on this program.
Coach.
Andy Reid will be joining us on this program later on.
Super Bowl winning.
Indeed. Yeah. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this program. Have a conversation. We're going to take your calls in a moment, so stay on hold because we've got, I do believe, first time on this program, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills coming off of his draft, and I greatly appreciate Brandon Bean joining us here on this program. How you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing well, Rich. Appreciate you having me on, buddy.
You got it. And before we get to this year's draft, I just want to jump into the way back machine about Josh Allen, because we just get so deep into quarterback this, quarterback that, and how difficult it is to evaluate a quarterback. When did you decide we're taking Josh Allen? When did that happen for you?
Yeah, it was probably, I would say, about three weeks prior to that draft. He was the guy, and it was just – at that point, Rich, you know, we somehow backed into the playoffs that first year. Mm-hmm. And so we were at 21. And then right before free agency started, I was able to trade Cordy Glenn, and we moved up with Cincinnati. We moved up to 12. So about 3 weeks out, I was trying, you know, from all the way down until we got it done on the clock, I was trying to figure out where I had to get Josh, and was it going to be an option? Because obviously Cleveland had won. The Giants, I'd figured out, they, you know, it was no secret they weren't in love with the quarterback. So I was trying to get to two. We couldn't get there. And then we knew the Jets were at three. So it's just ultimately trying to figure out where we could go to land him. And luckily we got the deal done with Tampa on the clock.
So, you know, so you jumped up knowing you could get him, right? Like, so as soon as you got him, why did he stand out to you? Obviously, you probably were grinding tape on everybody at the position. Why did he jump out to you, Brandon?
Yeah, Rich, he's just, you know, meeting him. Obviously, we saw his film, and people were pointing out inaccuracy and all that. But I'm telling you, I watched 2 years of film on this guy, and his accuracy was better than people gave him credit for. When you look at what the throws that were catchable, how many plays he got out of that he was about to be sacked, that it was, you know, it's first and 10, now it's second and 10, but it was about to be second and 18. And catchable balls. So we just kind of created our own system for all the quarterbacks. It's hard because you're got guys that are playing in the SEC, ACC, Pac-12, and then you got, you know, him playing in the Mountain West. And so, you know, that be, and then when you met Josh and you just – he was super smart. We put him through, you know, Brian Daboll kind of, you know, we went and visited all these guys, did privates with them, and Daboll came up with a test, some material to send him out, and teach them and test them when we got there. And then we taught him some more stuff. We sat in the room and just Josh blew us away with how smart he was and how quickly he processed. And then his on-the-field stuff, Dable would give him, you know, different things after the ball snap, where to throw it, all these guys. And so just through all the different processes, Rich, you know, he was pretty strong. And, yes, he needed to clean up things, footwork, his base. He had some things all out of sorts. But the DNA everywhere we looked, super smart, hard worker, leader, fun to be around, guys will like him. All those things just told us this was the guy we wanted to take a swing on.
That's what I wanted to also ask you about, Brandon, is that, you know, one of the things I love about him is just how normal he is, you know, and how down to earth he is and how cool he is and how just regular people he is. I see where he is with kids. I see all that stuff, like his dream come true stuff. I'm just wondering, when you saw the tape, you saw the film, and the eye in the sky wasn't lying to you, before you met him, were you nervous saying, boy, I hope I like this guy? I mean, was that one of those?
Yeah. So it's funny. I busted his chops pretty good for a little bit because the first time I met him was in Mobile. Mm-hmm. And we had this little boardroom at this hotel that's across the street from where the players stay. And so we brought him in there. Baker was there. Mason Rudolph. It may have been one other quarterback we brought in there. We spent like 30, 35 minutes with Josh. And we were talking to him, but we also had some film up trying to figure it out. And he was, once I got to know him through the rest of the process, he was so nervous. He wasn't unimpressive, but it was his least impressive performance. And the next time we were around him was in Laramie, and our owners, Terry and Kim, were with us. Mm-hmm. And he was just as calm and cool and collected as any of them, and he was more natural. It was like he wasn't trying to impress. And when I left Laramie, I was really fired up. Like, it wasn't a final decision because he was the first one that we met with. But it's like when you meet your wife, you kind of, you're like, man, maybe you haven't proposed to him yet, but you know this is the one.
Brandon Bean, Buffalo Bills general manager here on the Rich Eisen Show. And of course, once you get that unicorn, it's all about protecting him and obviously building around him. What does Dalton Kincaid bring to that equation, in your estimation, the kid you drafted?
Yeah, I mean, Rich, we were, you know, coming in this draft, not necessarily saying first round we needed to add, you know, receiver, tight end, whatever it may be, but we were hoping to add a weapon, some form or fashion, to add to our group with Diggs and Gabe Davis. And Khalil Shakir is a fifth rounder that came on last year. James Cook is a running back, and it's a mismatch guy. And then Dawson Knox. Those are kind of our lead weapons as we entered the draft. And so whether it was a receiver, tight end, whatever, we were just looking for another guy in the pass game that could be some type of weapon mismatch. And we feel that Dalton, he's got speed. He's got really good hands. He's got separation ability. I would say above average run after catch. Just a guy, a red zone threat, makes plays when the ball's in the air. You know, he wins his fair share of contested balls. And so, you know, one of the things the media was asking, you know, after we selected him, well, you extended Dawson Knox last year. Like, how does this work? It was explaining to them, we're a big 11 personnel team, you know, running three wide, but we'll just do more 12. But it's almost, he'll play that F, you know, that F tight end, mm-hmm. which he's going to be flexed out as more of a receiver. It's just a different style of receiver for us. Kind of a guy that can be in the middle of the field. And when teams want to try and take Diggs away and double him or bracket him, you know, now this guy's going to get one-on-one coverage.
Well, in terms of that too, Brandon, I kind of mentioned it after you drafted Kincaid on the air, that on the NFL Network coverage, is that last year, a lot of the issues, if there were any, is that, you know, your quarterback tried to do too much in the red zone. The running game wasn't somebody that he was the one running it, right? Or trying to make a play, and that Kincaid will do that. And it does appear with your running back room now, with Damian Harris, Latavius Murray, Nyheim Hines, that this is a focus. Like, okay, inside the 20, it's not all on Josh, and he could just hand it to somebody. He doesn't run it. Or he could throw it to somebody, and if Diggs is doubled, let's get some more options. And Kincaid he is just a touchdown maker, Brandon. I'm wondering if that was your philosophy here going into the offseason.
Yeah, definitely. The offseason was, you know, one of the things we talked to Josh about was limiting unnecessary hits. And listen, doesn't mean we don't want him to run, doesn't mean we don't want him to make plays with his feet. It just means it's a long season and we want you, you know, fully healthy for the stretch run and hopefully, you know, a playoff run. And you're right, there were times when our offense bogged down, you know, in various points, especially in the red zone, as you mentioned. And so, yes, we got to have a better run game down there. We added Damian Harris, who is probably a better complementary player to James Cook than what we had before, can bring some power. Damian actually had some good games against us, so we were caught the brunt end of his skill set a few times playing the Patriots. And then, yeah, we had Latavius Murray, you know, an even bigger back that can be short yardage, goal line, all that stuff as another option that Dorsey can use. And, yeah, now adding Kincaid is another red zone threat with Dawson, with Gabe Davis, with Diggs. And hopefully Josh doesn't have to feel like he's got to do too much.
And in terms of working the draft board, did you hop in front of Dallas because you knew they were going to take a tight end, or you thought that? Is that what happened on Thursday night?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened was, you know, we just, again, you'd have to get it out of them, but, you know, we had a good feeling they were looking for, you know, a starting tight end after losing Dalton Schultz. And so just trying to, you know, make sure if he got that far. There were some a few other teams that we had pegged that Mike would, you know, even before Dallas select Dalton. So I really wasn't sure he would get there. But once he got past the Chargers, they were a team that I said could definitely take him. They went with the TCU kid, who's a really good player too. And at that point, after they picked him, I started trying to work the phones and see, hey, you know what? We didn't have a lot of ammo. We only came in with six picks, but this was a guy that I really thought could be a difference maker and was worth giving up, you know, our late fourth round pick for.
You surprised Osiris Torrence was available for you to select in the second round? Were you surprised about that?
Yeah, same thing. We had good grades on Osiris, really liked him, and so it was an easy pick from that standpoint. He was definitely sticking out on our board, and it gives us another guy up front, a stout 335 pounder that. You know, the cool thing about his story, Rich, is he transfers with Coach Napier from Louisiana Lafayette, and he goes up there, and Coach Napier brought him there. He told me, you know, he's a culture guy. And so, you know, if a coach is bringing this guy with him, yeah, he's a good player. But he's also a guy that, you know, the Florida Gators were going to kind of look to of what kind of player and person, you know, he wants on and off the field. And the other cool part of that is, he wasn't promised a starting job to transfer. And I think a lot of kids would have said, well, if I'm not starting necessarily, then I'm going to stay where I'm at. They started him on the third team in spring ball, and by the time they started the regular season, he had won that starting job. And it wasn't too big for him playing in the SEC, which, you know, I think we can all attest is probably the closest thing to NFL football there is.
Well, it's also ironic, too, Brandon Bean, that there's a receiver who's 6'4", named Shorter, but you drafted him nonetheless. How does he fit into your equation here?
Yeah, we've got, other than Gabe Davis, I would say our receiving corps is probably on the smaller side. And so this gave us a chance, yet another outside perimeter receiver to learn, you know, that outside role, be a key backup for Steph and for Gabe. And he can stretch the field vertically. Obviously, he can win with his size. He transferred from Penn State. He's a Northeast kid. Went down to Florida and had a little bit more production. And he can stretch the field a little bit vertically. You know, he's kind of a build-up speed, but once he's up and running. And then he's a really good special teams guy, should help us on fourth down. So, we have a path to get him a jersey right away, and hopefully he can grow into, you know, being a more productive guy as a receiver as well.
That's two Florida players, Brandon. Are you pulling like a Howie Roseman with Florida, like he does with Georgia? Are you doing that?
Well, it's funny. We were laughing in the room when they kept selecting Georgia players. We're like, man, we're going to go down there, and Howie Roseman is going to have his own wing in the Georgia building to watch players. And so after we took Shorter, I'm like, well, hey, somebody call Napier and tell him Buffalo wants one in Florida.
Okay, that's what I'm about to say. It's like you got the other side of the cocktail party. You know what I mean? Like you can all go down to Jacksonville.
We took Kyrie Elam. We took Kyrie Elam in the first from there last year.
There you
go. Yeah, a few Gators this way.
There you go. A couple more minutes left with you, and a couple more questions for you. With Stephon Diggs, I mean, he had a couple of moments after the final loss of the season. And also, I guess, on his social media, where He seemed to be really crestfallen about everything that's going on there. Do you have a conversation with him just to check in with him, just a check with me type moment to make sure he's still all in with being with Buffalo at all?
Yeah, I mean that's part of who Stephon is. He's it's part of what makes him great. He's one of the most competitive people you'll ever be around. You know, I tell people I grew up in this business in Carolina around Steve Smith. And Steve, he wore his emotions on his sleeve, and sometimes people didn't like it. But, you know, I go to war with Steve Smith any day of the week. I'd rather have guys like that I got to pull down. And I think Steph, in his own way, is in that bucket. I mean, this guy, when he's here, Rich, he competes his tail off. If he steps on the practice field, it's a war. And he's not looking to go against a backup. He's looking to go against, you know, Tre'Davious White or, you know, somebody of Trey's caliber. So, no, it's... the season didn't, you know, Steph looks at it in a way of, you know, we put all this work into it. You know, we should be better than this. Why did we play this way? Like, let me make plays. And I know he feels like there's probably opportunities that maybe we could have gotten the ball and we didn't. And he wants the ball in his hands. You love that about him. And if it doesn't go that way, he's going to let you know. And so, that's who he is. That's who we've known him to be. And so, I think we're in really good shape there, and I know he'll, you know, at the right time, you know, he'll get here and rejoin and be ready to roll for the season.
All right, last one for you, Brandon Bean. Damar Hamlin, he's full go. Like this is he's back, and nobody's thinking about what happened last year. I'm not saying that he's not being monitored. I'm just saying it's just the page is turned, and he's back, and he's playing football. Like that's it.
It's crazy, Rich. I was talking to somebody earlier, like, to think where, you know, after that happened and just watching him in the hospital fight for his life, you know, for several days before it was at least 48 to 72 hours before the docs told us that, you know, he's going to live. And so to go from that and the things he's gone through this offseason to, you know, get healthy again, it is a miracle that he is full go, full clearance. It's hard for us to believe. We sent him to multiple specialists. We sent our medical staff with him because we wanted to hear it too. And, mm-hmm. and so he has been given, you know, all systems go. You know, the other part of that is, you know, there's a mental hurdle, though, here that we need to work with him. And it's natural. I mean, this guy, you know, was revived on the field. And this is unprecedented from anything I've seen. And so we're still going to support him, help him. He wants to make this return. I think there's going to be some ups and downs. I think that's natural, but we're going to be here for him, and we're hoping he wants like heck to line up and run out of that tunnel the first game of the season, and I'm not going to doubt him.
Anything you could detail about the mental side, what you're helping him with?
We have him with a couple of different people, one in house and then one one on the outside, mm-hmm. a counselor that's. Kind of that one's more of like a traumatic type counselor a patient or someone in life that's gone through a traumatic injury or recovery and the obstacles. So, and then we've got a mental performance person in-house that's working with him. So he's that's where we're at now, and we're going to surround him with anything we need. I have a really good relationship with his parents after this whole thing, spending some time with him. So talk to his dad every couple of weeks. And just kind of letting him know what I'm seeing here and kind of where they need to support from their end as parents. But we've got all our arms around him, and I know the whole country's rooting for him.
Seeing him in the Oval Office was awesome. That was unbelievable. That was unbelievable, Brandon.
That was a cool deal. You know, the president called. It's weird, Rich. He called my phone. He got my number and calls my phone while I'm in the hospital and to talk to his parents. And it was on that call, I heard him, you know, offer that invite, and his parents were just flabbergasted that he took time to call, and then secondly to invite them, and really cool. Damar loved it, and it's a cool story for him to be able to do that.
Wait a minute, you're in the hospital. You look down. Is it a 202 area code? It's got to be a blocked number, right? It's blocked. The number's blocked, right? No.
No, I got a text that someone with him was going to be calling. So a young lady Ashley called my phone and said, "Hey, I've got President Biden right here." So they gave me the heads up what the number would be.
Okay. And, okay. I need to, and so then you hand the phone. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
It's crazy. Yeah, we got in a little room in the hospital and put it on speaker, and he did a great job. Talked to him for probably 15 minutes. I mean, it wasn't like a 2 minute, hey, we're praying for him. I mean, he asked them all about their family and everything. It was very well done.
Brandon, thanks so much. And speaking of family, please send my best to the Pegula family. Will you please do that?
Definitely will.
Please
yeah,
do
I
that.
Yeah, I definitely will. Appreciate you having me on, Rich.
Yeah, anytime. Please, let's make this more on the regular if you're interested. And congrats on your draft. Thanks for the time.
That was good. Thank you.
That's Brandon Bean right here on the Rich Eisen Show, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills. Wanted to start with the way back about Josh Allen, because that's all we've been talking about, right? Is how do you asked that of John Beck, Chris, a few weeks ago. How do you evaluate a quarterback?
It's the hardest thing to do in sports right now.
And isn't it amazing how he just basically said it's like meeting your wife? You know? Your spouse. You just know.
Yeah.
You just know. And, you know, I'm sure there's a bunch of evaluators that had that feeling that you just know, and then all of a sudden the relationship with the quarterback turns out to be Del Tufo, like, you know, with his ex.
Wow.
It's not like you're throwing a trophy at each other. But, I mean, obviously you get a feeling, you get a sense, but that's why I want to ask him, too, is that you see the tape, you see the film, and you're like, please, please don't be an a-hole. Honestly, like, I've heard these stories before. Like, you fall in love with the tape, and then you got to meet the kid, and then all of a sudden it's just like, oh, God, I couldn't. What a bummer.
Right.
I thought the kid was perfect for us, and I just love the tape and love the film, but I can't have this guy on the team.
Thought he was the one.
Then you meet Josh Allen, and it's just like sold. And they moved up to 12. I remember that. You remember they moved that? It was like a two-step jump for them. They got within hailing distance of 12 because they weren't going to get Josh Allen at 12.
Right.
And then as soon as the Jets took Darnold after the Browns took Baker Mayfield, it was Lamar, Josh Allen, and Josh Rosen still left on the board. And as soon as the Bucks were on the clock, it's just like, let's go get him. And it's changed everything there. It's changed everything there. And then, you know, Daniel Jeremiah now once, like, go ahead and ask him. I don't know if he'll answer, but he just answered directly. Like, hey, Cowboys were tight end needy. You thought they were going to use a tight end or use their pick on a tight end. Is that why you hopped in front of him?
And he's like, yeah,
that's exactly why we did it. That's how the draft works. Oh, Dalton Kincaid's still available. Cowboys on the clock next. Let's call the team right in front of him.
Thanks, Brandon. Now you got two tight ends named Dalton. Good luck telling them apart.
I love that conversation. That's how the draft works. It's how you evaluate a quarterback. It's how you find him. It's how you meet him. It's how you fall in love with him. And it's how you draft him. It's how you move around the board to go draft him. And then quarterback in year, what is it, five, is starting to do a little bit too much. Maybe feel a little bit more pressure in the red zone. So what are we going to do? Well, we'll get Damian Harris from the Patriots, by the way, and Latavius Murray. And add him to a running back's room and start. Let's start. Latavius Murray is the king of give him the ball in a five, then give him the ball in a two touchdown. Right? And if you got Dawson Knox and you got Stephon Diggs and your red zone is being kind of clamped down, then get Dalton Kincaid, who I believe, look it up. I think he scored 1,000 touchdowns last year for Utah. He's unbelievable.
All
in the
against
red zone.
USC, I think.
Exactly right. The number of tackles UFC defense missed is the number of touchdowns that Dalton Kincaid scored offensively for Utah. And that's how you build a team. That's how you identify a need, and that's how you try to fix it through free agency in the draft. Love this sort of stuff. Hopefully you're smarter for it. Take a break, phone calls, and Overreaction Monday, baby. That's coming up next right here on The Rich Eisen Show. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung. And that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code Eisen when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Terzo in Iowa. Always great to chat with Terzo, and he's back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Terzo?
I'm doing well, Rich. Hey, great coverage this weekend with the draft, man. You guys
Thank you.
Always stellar and fun to watch.
Thanks, brother.
Hey, I got a couple thoughts for you, Rich. One for the NFL draft and then the awesome NBA playoffs that we're watching.
Mm-hmm.
One thing with the draft, I found myself not as intrigued this year as I normally do for the first couple rounds. And it's not necessarily because I'm not just enjoying it. It's because the Niners didn't have a pick. And so I kind of felt like we were missing out. And watching the excitement of all the other fans and watching the Eagles kind of run away with the draft kind of got me a little woe is me, like it's kind of terrible, but it was still a lot of fun and there was a lot of intrigue with it.
Well, you didn't have one until the 99th overall pick because you traded a two for Christian McCaffrey. Kind of all worked out. They wound up moving up and then being smart enough to draft a Michigan kicker, which we'll talk about later. But what's your NBA draft? What's your NBA draft thing?
I knew you're going to bring up the Michigan kicker.
Of course, I'm going to.
My cousin's a little upset with that pick, but I like it.
Hey, bro, hold on a minute, Terzo. Hold on a second.
Easy,
wait a minute.
Terzo.
Hold on
easy.
A minute. No. It's all right. I'm gonna speak your language.
Take heed, counselor.
No. Hold on a second. It's all right. I'm calling him into the judge's chambers. He understands. He's been taken to
chambers.
Task before. He's been called to the bar before. Okay. It's 12:30 in the afternoon your time there in the beautiful state of Iowa. Correct.
Correct.
On May 1st, 2023. Correct.
Correct.
Mark the date and time. And then Mark and Chris, then we'll mark the date and time when he calls me back to tell me I was wrong, okay, about Jake Moody. All right? Very good. We're all good? We're all understanding?
We're good.
Okay.
We're good.
Very good.
We're
so good. What else you want to talk about? What else you got?
Hey, man, the NBA playoffs have been absolutely awesome. I just hope Joel Embiid, his knee is not more than just a sprain. And TJ, I'm hoping for you guys, man. I wanted to see this series so bad between the 76ers and Celtics, especially with the Bucks bowing out the way they did. You have to think that the favorite is now whoever wins that series to come out of the East. The West, I was kind of still holding on to the Suns, but I got to say, this Nuggets team is really good.
It's funny how we're – thanks to the call, Terzo. It's amazing how we're going to watch all of America kind of have it dawn on them.
How good the Nuggets
How good the Nuggets were all year. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. What you know there might be some fans will be like, wait a minute, what did the Nuggets do this year? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what they did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Best record in the West.
It's going to dawn on folks.
Back-to-back MVP.
They toyed with the Suns. They toyed
Bubble Murray showed up.
Bubble Murray showed up, but how about Gordon? Everybody forgets about him because you talk about Bubble Murray. You talk about Jokic, obviously.
Yeah.
Michael Porter. They're a really good team, man.
Really good team. Deep.
And how about this? Deep. You know we're kind of missing out on as well because we're focused on LeBron and Curry as well as Curry's 50-point game. How about the fact that Suns Nuggets is now for the right to host the Western Conference Finals, which the Nuggets obviously always had the pole position on. But if the Suns win that, they host the Western Conference Finals as if they were the one seed, because the Warriors and the Lakers are the six and they're the six and seven.
Yeah, because NBA doesn't reseed; they just do a bracket.
Just right, 6 and 7.
Yeah,
Warriors Lakers is 6-7. By the way, awesome. We can say this, I think, with certainty. This is the greatest 6-7 series there ever will be.
I don't know if we've ever had a 6-7 play each other in the playoffs.
6-7 is Warriors, Lakers, Steph, LeBron. And, you know, knocking on wood here, everyone's healthy. I know Davis is hobbled a little bit, but that's, you could say that pretty much every day of his working life.
Yeah, but LeBron's still got a foot that he was dealing with at the end of the season.
Everybody's hobbled a little at this point.
I mean, I think you could see his foot is fine now, because I think that's what he broke off in the Grizzlies.
Well done. Emmy nominated.
He broke that off.
That's why.
Looked pretty good to me. When he broke that off. And by the way, how about Jack returning? I don't know why I feel this way.
Low key, the biggest story of the weekend.
I don't know why I feel this way, but it intimidated me. As somebody rooting, you know, if you're rooting for a team against the Lakers, I thought to myself, uh-oh, this is like old times. Jack's there. LeBron's going up to him. Celebrities galore. Jack's back at a Laker playoff game. I kind of thought to myself, Grizzlies are toast, and they lost by 40. I know that's a stupid thing to feel, but...
When I saw Jack was there, I was like, just bet everything you have on the Lakers right now, because they're not going to lose. Jack's first Laker game since opening day 2021.
That's awesome.
Over a year and a half. There was an article last week that was kind of making the rounds, Rich, that was like, where's Jack? Where's he been? Friends are worried he's going to die alone like Marlon Brando. And then there were weird pictures of him on his balcony.
Yeah, like, I know, right?
He's still alive, everybody. Yeah. Then he shows up at the Laker game.
I saw that.
It was amazing.
I honestly saw that, and I'm like, uh-oh, the Lakers might win it all.
Yeah.
Because Jack's back. Jack, and I thought to myself, how stupid can you be?
Yeah, that's kind of like a Reed Richards reach.
It felt like the old days.
Yeah.
Like Jack's there.
Diane Cannon's always
and
there.
And by the way, how about Larry David showing up? Did somebody tell him he's got to keep his feet in when he was sitting right there?
Next to Ari Emanuel.
Ari's going to tell him. Keep your feet
in. And Dr. Dre. It was like in that same row. It was Ari Emanuel, Larry David, Dr. Dre.
Jimmy Iovine
was next to Dre.
The Lakers have got to feel good about themselves, because nobody thought they'd make the playoffs, let alone the second round of the playoffs, let alone have the good times feeling like they're rolling again.
Well, here comes Steph Curry.
Oh, no.
50 burger.
I know. You know what I mean? But it's great. It's great. It's a great. I'm
it's
so
great.
Fired
it's
up.
It's going to be through the roof.
I'm
ratings
so fired up.
Amazing.
I'm so fired up.
Yeah. Let's go. TJ, good luck.
About what? Tonight? Are you guys going to have something going?
Where tonight?
Are we going?
We can bet to Kenny Pickett $20 if you want.
Oh, that's so unacceptable.
Oh, wait, you weren't here for this.
What do you mean?
You don't know what happened.
What are we talking about?
You see what's sitting right here?
Oh, I paid.
Oh.
He paid up last week.
Oh, my God.
He paid up. That's
I'm sorry.
I'm sure you were wondering why I had 20,
dub
sitting here.
No. From over here, it looked like you. His money. It just looked like you had a picture of Peter Gammons up in front of you.
I did a top five on Thursday.
So that's an actual crisp $20 bill.
$20 out of his wallet.
It was on Friday?
Thursday.
So prior to the draft. So it was 1 year. It took you a year to pay off the Kenny Pickett's not going to be drafted.
Yeah, statute of limitations, like getting a wedding gift, 1 year.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's why I'm going to frame it like Ricky Henderson and never sell it.
But you'd have to give him odds, right? Even I, as a non-gambler, understand.
Well, Richard, when you say odds, I don't really understand.
So the guy's
going
to be without Embiid for
That sounds
like a YP.
I don't think I want to make a bet on this. You know?
Is that why? If Embiid was healthy, you'd be all in on that, right?
Yes, I would.
No, Vegas knows something too, Rich, because yesterday,
hold on.
Series odds were, in the minus 250 range. Now it's minus 600. I think Vegas is anticipating multiple games missed by Embiid here.
Well, I mean, the word, I just read it. I mean, you don't need to be, Jimmy the Greek to know the Google says 2 games is what people are reporting. He's going to be out for 2 games.
It's ridiculous, man. How do I got 2 teams and the best player on both teams mess up their knees? I got, like, Susie was here. I got 2 menisci. I would gladly donate them to one to Kawhi and one to Embiid. It's ridiculous.
Excuse me. I mean, the Heat just knocked out the Bucks. Come on now. Without Tyler Hero, who, as you know, I said they should hold on. And by the way, that was the guy I always hung my hat on that you don't break up the team for Giannis because of Tyler Hero. And here they are without Tyler Hero, and they knock out the Bucks in 5 because Jimmy Butler played out of his skull.
Maybe you were right the whole time.
Maybe I was right the whole time. But in all seriousness,
Sixers
have a shot.
No, we don't, Rich. If Joel Embiid is not healthy, if he's not at least 90%, I don't even know how you measure that.
Maybe you get him back.
Man. I think the only right thing to do would be to have Jaylen Brown voluntarily sit out for as many games as Embiid doesn't play. Just that would be the gracious thing to do.
This guy over there.
Just sit on the bench.
By the way, he can do that. It ain't going to matter.
If Jaylen Brown doesn't play.
Plus, I understand the Vegas thing. That's not the other thing. Is that, can you help me out? Can you help me out? Because if I'm not mistaken, Scott Foster has been refereeing games that in series that could be extended in the end.
Oh, did you see you ref game 7?
I did.
Am
see
I going to get credit
for what?
For predicting Lakers Warriors?
You can't tell me.
What do you mean?
You can't tell me.
I predicted Lakers Warriors and Scott Foster refed game 7.
Get out of here.
Like, what do you guys want more from me out of this?
So then why didn't you push back when we started talking about how great and legendary Steph Curry's performance was that Scott Foster had? How many assists did Scott Foster have in the 50 points? I can't figure this out.
Yeah.
On the court, and the favored home team lost because
Steph Curry went out of his skull.
Because
how many bounce passes?
Let's see.
How many screens did Scott Foster set for Curry yesterday?
Maybe one.
Oh my God. I can't follow your conspiracy.
You don't
want to
give me credit. It's totally fine.
What credit for what?
For predicting that Lakers Warriors were going to be in the second round.
Oh, fine. Congratulations. I give you those kudos.
He predicted this when the playoffs already started.
That was at the beginning.
But you roast Scott Foster at your convenience. And don't.
He's there for the league.
He had nothing to do with
it yesterday. He's there to work for the league.
Did he personally douse the beam? Did he? Instead of lighting it? Because it seemed to me Steph Curry's the one who doused the beam.
Yeah, I mean, he did.
Okay.
Just him being there is enough, guys.
Okay,
19 fourth quarter points.
That's right.
Come on.
And seriously, how many screens did he set?
He was out there.
Oh, God. Take a break. Overreaction Monday, people. Coming
the same
up.
Amount of fouls,
Overreaction Monday. Andy Reid coming up. My top 5 drafts that I thought. Those are my winners for the draft coming up.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's a Monday. We're coming off after a draft. Holy crap. Is that a perfect convergent for Overreaction Monday? Hit it, please.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
Let's go, Christopher.
What's up, everybody?
What do you got for
everybody
me?
Everybody good?
Yes, sir.
Anthony Richardson's going to be Offensive Rookie of the Year next year.
Oh, I don't think so.
Let's go!
That's an overreaction.
Starting day one.
I don't know.
Irsay said, we all thought this kid was going to be, he's going to go somewhere and he's going to sit. He's going to sit behind Geno Smith. He's going to sit behind Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, I think he's going to start.
No, you know what he's going to do? Irsay said he's going to start week one and he's going to learn by playing. He's going to be awesome. He's going to have one of those seasons, though. He might go 30-20. He might have a Giannis-type game, TJ. 38-20 next year. But it's going to be damn fun.
You know
Colts
what?
Are going to be a fun team.
You know what I'm going to do here is I'm going to sit here and say that's an overreaction because of a couple things. First of all, I don't know if he's going to – but here's the thing. Is he can't sit here and say he won't start all season because Brock Purdy didn't, and he made the final three last year. And my young squire,
so
Cooper Evan Eisen, who asked me after he won his first start and looked so good, can he win Rookie of the Year? Is he eligible? He asked me yesterday, who do you think is going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year? And I went back and forth on it. And the two that I would think of right now is Jahmyr Gibbs of Detroit. Because, dude, you know how high-flying that offense is. And if he's going to be used as a slot and he's going to be a difference maker, Amon-Ra St. Brown, you want to try and cover him. You want to try and cover the rest of that team. Obviously, if Jamison Williams comes, when he comes back from suspension, they're going to use Gibbs. And another one, I don't know, I think Jaxon Smith-Njigba. They go back-to-back Ohio State wide receivers and Offensive Rookie of the Year.
I'm worried he gets buried up there.
I don't know about that. I don't think so. Geno threw it around this past year. They let Geno cook. I'll just say, I'm going to just go overreaction right there. Bryce Young, I think, is going to be from jump, and I think he's got a skill set already that might be attuned to the NFL right from get-go. What else you got over there?
TJ, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The Eagles are going back to the Super Bowl.
Hey,
they won the draft.
Hey,
won the offseason. Howie Roseman is clearly playing a different game than everyone else now, and he's destroying them.
Jalen's been paid, and it doesn't seem like they're cutting everybody to make sure he's getting paid. And Kelsey coming back is so monstrously huge. They kept Slay. They kept much of the team together. They did lose their coordinators. We'll see if that matters. But I can't sit here and say that's an overreaction at all. That's definitely less of an overreaction than Anthony Richardson's Rookie of the Year. So I got to agree with you. If I had to choose who's making the Super Bowl out of the NFC right now, I would choose the Eagles.
What about AFC?
The Jets. It's overreaction Monday.
Save that.
Pal.
Save that.
What do you got?
Anything less than an AFC championship appearance for Rodgers? Disappointment.
Get out of here.
You just said they're going to the Super Bowl.
Excuse me, because I was having fun here. It's a deep pool, that AFC, bro. It's a very, very deep pool, that AFC. They have to, if they miss the playoffs, it's a sore disappointment. They got to make it. 12 years, bro. 12 years and
not
counting.
Not just making it is a win here.
For me, them making it and them going, making it to the divisional round for the Jets? Are you kidding me? And then hopefully what they do is they're able to keep him there. And let's see if he can be Brady 2.0 in terms of his body, in terms of his mind, in terms of his play. Let's see. Maybe he can have a renaissance as a 40-year-old just like Brady. And why the hell not? And the rest of this young Jets team that he's going to hang out with at Rangers and Knicks playoff games right now. He wants to bond with them and Lazard. He's got stick around. So I'm not going to put all my eggs in this basket when you got the rest of the AFC like this. I also want to downplay this garbage. Making the playoffs, winning a playoff
Super Bowl
game.
Odds.
How about that? Make great, fine. I don't care about odds. I don't live with odds.
What?
You know what? I live with evens. Even keel. That's what I live with. Get out of here with this nonsense.
Even Steven.
Hey, making the final four of their conference? Jets haven't had the seat at that table in forever. I will take it.
You never had Aaron Rodgers.
Well, let's see how it goes. I'm not sitting in a Super Bowl or bust. Get the hell out of here. What else, Chris?
Lamar Jackson.
Yes, sir.
He got paid, huh?
He did.
You should thank Jalen Hurts. Has to deliver a title to make this new deal worth it.
Sure. I'll go with that. But I mean, that's the problem. Like, this is also another way of Giannis is saying failures is not to be, you know, discounted as a growth mechanism here. I understand that.
Giannis couldn't play this game.
Chris, how many of these quarterbacks are going to get paid like this? All of them. All of them are going to get paid like this. And none
and they
of them,
better win.
Not all of them are going to win a Super Bowl, though. So is it going to be a complete disappointment? No. What you need to do is you need to try. You need to have a seat at the table. You got to give it a whirl. This is a market value deal. If he doesn't win a Super Bowl, then it's not worth it. Of course it's worth it. To keep him, the alternative is not nearly as acceptable. So I'm not talking myself into saying that's an overreaction. Of course they want to win a Super Bowl. That's why they signed him to this deal. Of course they want to win a Super Bowl. That's why they got Odell. That's why they drafted Zay Flowers. That's why they did everything that they did. They're giving themselves a shot. Will it happen? Who knows? Well, that's a deep end of the AFC pool, bro. Where's your overreaction on Mac Jones is, you know, and your Patriots? Like, you honestly, the pressure's just as much on with you as anyone else.
What are you talking about?
Okay. What am I talking about?
Overreaction what? We're last in the division.
Got it. That's true. Okay. Look at this guy. Look at this guy discounting his Patriots. Okay. What else you got over there, Chris?
Didn't take an offensive player.
And by the way, you are not wrong about Jalen Hurts and how that led to Lamar getting
1,000%. Unlocked. 1,000%.
It led to unlocking Lamar because that couldn't have been too far away from what the Ravens were offering him. Yeah. And if Lamar saw what Jalen just got, he could sit here and go, I can get that. Whatever was going on in his mind about needing everything fully guaranteed, I'm glad he changed his mind because this is incredible, this deal. And yeah. And the same way that I had the pointing Rick Dalton as the gif of the live Rich Eisen show exclusive reaction to the live reaction of Eric DaCosta, the general manager of the Ravens. Like, that's the deal. That's it. Yeah. Right there. And look, lo and behold, 2 weeks later, no question in my mind.
It's a great deal.
The Hurts-Eagles contract negotiation and signing solved that Rubik's Cube for the Ravens. What else, Chris?
Rich, one of my top five items on Thursday before the draft was I wanted to see a quarterback fall. And I didn't want it personally for the kid, but it makes for great drama. Unfortunately, that was Will Levis.
Yes.
Did end up going to the Titans after all.
Yes.
In the second round, I think he's going to start more games than Tannehill this year.
I don't think so. I think Tannehill's going to go. And the only way that Tannehill doesn't start all 17 is if he either A, gets hurt, or B, the rest of that roster, the way it is constructed, does not win enough games put together. And then suddenly, middle of the year, they're like, we got to see what we got in Levis. And suddenly he gets sat, like Matt Ryan got sat last year, unfortunately for him. I think they're going to give him the first half of the season to see what's what in that division. And you know that team always plays very well, very stout. They're well-coached. They play hard. Levis, I met him the night before the draft and his family. You know, he grew up in North Attleboro.
Yeah.
You know, within 15 minutes of Foxborough. So for him to have gotten a call finally, and the call was made by Mike Vrabel, had to be a big moment for him. Big moment for him. You got one more?
I got one more, Rich. Okay. You know, every year we're looking ahead. Let's look ahead. We look ahead. There's a guy in the draft, and we got to come up with a phrase for what teams are going to do throughout the year.
Yeah.
The cratering for Caleb has already
cratering
started.
What do you mean has already started? What does that mean?
It's already started.
How does it start?
The maneuvering has already begun.
How does it start?
Already begun. Guess what? Smells like Arizona next year for Caleb Williams.
Well, now you're really going down.
You know what I'm saying?
They all flew to watch Kyler's statue get unveiled, Chris.
So it smells like
the draft. They must have held a draft planning meeting on the flight out to Oklahoma to celebrate his statue being unveiled.
Yeah, that was a week ago.
That's it. You're out.
That was before they acquired another first round.
And then middle
pick
of the season, they'll tell him you stay out so we can tank for crater for Caleb. I like that phrase.